This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Throughout the coronavirus crisis, we've set aside time every Friday to get perspective on the national response from 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Since the death of George Floyd at the knee of a Minneapolis police officer and a physical interaction between a white Washtenaw County sheriff's deputy and an African-American woman, the national and local dialogue has changed focus, and we too are incorporating that conversation into our weekly get-togethers. Representative Dingell, thank you once again for your time.
It's great to be with you. I look forward to Friday morning.
The pain and anger being played out on the streets of America is at times difficult to digest, but it's been ignored for far too long. And once again, there is the demand for meaningful change. Let's say some of their names: Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, and Eric Garner, and many others. The deaths of each of these people has caused outrage, protest, and calls for change. And now, in the wake of the death of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, does this time feel different to you?
Feels very different to me, but we also have to make sure that it is different. I think that the video of the police officer kneeling on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes was just something. I can't look at it anymore, David. And it just, so many saw a man die right in front of their eyes. And I think it cause people to really search their conscience and to say, we can't tolerate this anymore. So I do believe our country is ready for change. I have been with many young people. I've been out this week. I'm very worried. The one thing I'm very worried about is that people are not keeping social distance, or a lot of the young people aren't wearing masks anymore, and I don't want to see any more deaths of any kind, and I admit myself. I've been pretty paranoid, but yesterday, some days just call for human touch. People need to know they're part of one community. And yesterday for me was that kind of day in walking with young people. But I think young people, but so do old people. I mean, I'm walking in groups of very diverse groups of people who really believe that our country is ready for change, and I think are going to lead for that change. And not only criminal justice reform, as we're watching in front of our eyes, but recognizing and acknowledging that racism is still there, that there is discrimination in housing, that our education system is not equitable in all communities, and the education that a young person gets really levels the opportunity for them. And it's been a this has put a microscope on the healthcare system and how fractured and broken it is.
That was all a part of the message you sent out to constituents yesterday, noting equity in education, healthcare, housing, every aspect of life in society. And you noted that we should all listen more and learn more about our nation's disparities. Who are you listening to and learning from right now?
I'm talking to everybody. Sunday was in Dearborn with every event that I'm going to, and yes, I'm back out going to events. I'm worried, and I think we all need to be worried, but moments call for you to be there. I represent these people. I have to be there. But every event that I go to, I was in Dearborn on Sunday. I spoke at the rally and walked in Ann Arbor on Monday. I was in Washtenaw, Ipsy. Yesterday I was in Allen Park and Lincoln Park, and the young people are leading it, but walking are as young people and old people. The groups of people that are gathering are diverse. I mean, in many instances, there are more white people than black people, and they are from all walks of life. They are doctors and nurses and teachers and students. And yesterday there was engineers from Ford Motor and UAW workers. It's people, the ones that I'm participating in that are in my district, the 12th district, they know there needs to be change, but they're peaceful. There are people there that have tried to cause trouble, and the leaders themselves are simply not tolerating it, and they are not going to let them hurt the message of change in action they're calling for.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and our conversation with 12th District U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell continues. Now, you may not have been a part of the events that you attended, but As we watch the nation rise up and takes to the streets, you can't help but notice how militarized many police departments have become. Are you having conversations with your colleagues about limiting or eliminating that ongoing trend?
We're having a lot of discussions. I will tell you that first and foremost, it was inappropriate to threaten to call out the military, to have ordered in the military presence. And what happened in Lafayette Park this week was just absolutely inexcusable. And it is refreshing to see Lisa Murkowski and former defense...
James Mattis,
secretary, but also Mike Mullins, who's the former Joint Chiefs of Staff, and other Republican leaders speak out. And we have to talk about... A bill passed the state legislature in Michigan yesterday, the Senate, for better training for police. And, you know, a lot of times... We don't realize what law enforcement has become at the very local level, that they're social workers. They have to deal with people that have mental health crises. They also have to worry about people who don't have a place to live and they don't have a place to eat. They're dealing with a multitude of problems, and we need to make sure we're giving them the tools that they need to deal with it. So police training is a very important part.
And Washtenaw County Sheriff Jerry Clayton had an opportunity to address the state Senate yesterday as part of the proceedings prior to the passage of that measure in the Senate. And he noted that he's fully in support of more training and better access, but also said law enforcement departments will need more money to ensure that that is done right and that the standards are assured. While that is happening, there's an increasing number of calls to defund law enforcement departments. Los Angeles scaling back its policing budget, activists calling for zeroing out the policing budget in Lansing. In Detroit, activists are asking some of the police budget be reallocated to public education. What is your take on that movement?
I think that the movement has probably the wrong name, because we do need to make sure that our law enforcement, who play a critical role and all of our communities, have the resources that they need. But how those resources are being spent probably need to be reappropriated in some way so that there is better training, so that the officers have the resources that they need to be able to help people. We need to have a very real conversation about the militarization of our law forces, and where should that equipment be in terms of there? If there is a threat to our national security, should it be the National Guard that has those tools that can come in if there's a crisis? I think you're going to see there are going to be some very significant hearings in the Judiciary Committee next week, and you're going to see this topic talked about in a great deal. And David, I don't have all the answers. You know, they have to not be afraid to say, I need to really understand. I need to understand where it's going to go, because we cannot eliminate law enforcement in this country, but they need more resources, they need better training, and we cannot tolerate the brutality, the injustice that we have seen firsthand in these last couple of weeks. We need to not turn a blind eye.
We're talking with Democratic Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU, and while these conversations are at the fore right now, we continue to deal with a pandemic, and certainly all things are connected. And we know African Americans on a percentage basis have been more dramatically impacted because of many of the systemic issues of oppression and access that also allow for police brutality. You continue the call for Medicare for all. With this heightened awareness of injustice right now, is any progress being made toward that end?
I think that you're seeing at a grassroots movement an awareness. People just want to turn a blind eye that too many Americans don't have access to health care. And we are the only industrialized nation in the world that does not guarantee every one of its citizens access to quality health care. We were going to have a major event yesterday bringing people together, and it was postponed because of George Floyd's memorial. But as you know, but many may not, I am the lead sponsor with my colleague Pramila Jayapal of Medicare for All in the House, and we have all been talking about how to move this forward. It honestly, although President Trump has used some of the very same words we have, we know it won't go anywhere with this Republican Senate in this Republican White House, but we are laying the groundwork now for action. after November.
While we consider legislative and policy change, I think it's fair to ask, might a good starting point for Congress be in better self-regulation and restraint, end lifetime benefits, accept the lowest level health care coverage available to the general public, get the dark money out of politics, and end super PACs and accumulation of campaign wealth, end Citizens United? Might the right message to the public be that fighting back against the corporatization of government and the widening gap between the haves and have-nots and actual transparency be a good step forward in the quest for equity and justice?
Citizens United, it was one of the worst things that happened. H.R. 1, which was the first bill that we passed in the House, which seems a lifetime ago, but it was only last year, addressed all of those issues that you just said, and I'm very proud to be the vice chair of the Democracy Task Force working on all of these things. The Senate refuses to take up the bill or to act. We need far greater transparency. You know, one of the things, though, I do want to say to you is that when you talk about lifetime health care benefits, people think that I have General Motors. I mean, and by the way, my General Motors health care was always better than the government's health care was, and we paid less. So sometimes I think people think that members of Congress have better benefits, and I'm one of the people that even before I ever got to the Congress said, you guys need to live under the same rules we do. So like when they taxed our parking spots, I was when I was in the private sector, I said, why aren't you all having to do the same thing? And I was not a popular person, but I got that change through. But I also want to say, it is surprising to me, there was a quiz going around of all the things that they thought that people had in the Congress, like free education for their children and this. That is not there, and I would urge people to get the facts of what is there and what isn't there.
At the same time, you come back, you said Citizens United was the worst piece of legislation that you can remember.
It was a court, or it was when they overturned.
Right.
Yeah. We lost transparency. We lost any ability to have people report large amounts of money going into the political system.
And yet we have elected officials in Congress at state legislative level all saying we need our police departments to be more transparent. Is there a mixed message there?
It's an absolutely mixed message, but you got to look at who's saying it. And those of us who are calling for transparency and are transparent, everything I do is transparent. Every campaign contribution I have, that does have to be. But I take no money from outside groups that's not reported. And quite frankly, there are Republicans and Democrats who take large amounts of money that go into other PACs. Those need to be public. And every stock sale or a stock purchase needs to be public, which is required by law to be reported. So, but what we really need is that total transparency. And yes, but that's why, you know, I marched yesterday in Allen Park and Lincoln Park, and the police chiefs were not trying to be political. They were very supportive of the marchers. It was an incredible moment. Again, I've had very incredible moments this week. But the police chief of Allen Park said to those there, the most important thing that you can do, I'm not being political, he said, but if you want to bring about the change you want, there are four letters, V-O-T-E, vote in November.
I think that's a great place to leave it for this week, and I will look forward to our conversation next Friday morning. Thank you so much for the time and perspective.
Thank you, David.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.